I'd also highly recommend that you buy an extra ticket or two to the Sexy Marriage Night and invite some friends. Today's is the last day to register, which is hard for a lot of us because a lot of us, like, I haven't decided if I'm going to go yet or not because we're kind of last minute, a lot of us. So just act like it's tomorrow and make a decision right now to go and go buy your ticket today and buy an extra ticket or two. You know some friends. Does everybody have a friend or two? And say, hey, I bought you the ticket. Come. It's on the 14th. It's going to be great. And just bring some people with you. So we would encourage you to do that. The book this month, John Eldridge, Stacy Eldridge, Love and War. It is an amazing book. It is so good. So if you're going to go to the conference, that's free for you. If you're going to the marriage, Sexy Marriage Night, that's free for you. If you're not going to that, buy the book. And if you're married or not, it'll be a great book. It'll be a great book. I'm about a third of the way through it and loving it. So today we're starting a brand new series, Love One Another. February, we talk about love a lot of times during that month. I think the Bible says a little bit about it. Little bit. Anybody read your Bible reading for today, John chapter 3? Does that say a little bit about love in there? Kind of the verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but could have everlasting life. And God is really love. 1 John chapter 4 says God is love. Let's define God. Love. And a lot of people don't know that, don't get it. Some people got it in their head, but they don't have it in their heart yet. God is love. So we're going to talk about love one another all month long. And it's not easy. Anybody ever figure out that's not easy? It's not easy to love one another. There are so many things that threaten that whole concept of loving each other. So many things in a marriage, with your siblings, with your other family members, on the job, wherever it is, in the church. Sometimes it's hard to love each other in the church. Not this church, but other churches. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard. It's challenging. The book really helps with that. Love and War really helps with why is that so hard and what's really going on behind the scenes that makes this thing so hard. So we're going to talk about that, and today is just understanding. I hope by the time we're done this morning that we'll all walk out of here with a little better understanding of what loving one another is, what it means, what was God really saying? Was he really saying don't kill each other? Or was it more than that? Maybe it's a little more than that, right? Just don't be mean to each other. Is he saying, don't say everything you think? Don't act on every impulsive thought? What is he saying when he says love one another? How do you define that? How do you understand that? So hopefully when we're done this morning, we'll have a better understanding. And then in the next 3 weeks or so, we'll just be enlarging on that and enlarging on that and seeing what the Lord says about it. This is really John 15, verses 12 through 17. The first verse says, you're commanded to love each other. The last verse in that section says, you're commanded to love each other. And then in the middle of that love sandwich is a bunch of ideas to help you understand what's God really saying when he commands you to love each other. God isn't just saying, you know, it would be a really good idea if you guys would love each other. He's saying, I command you to love each other. It's a commandment. And in fact, the great commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment in all the world is love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, if you'll do this love thing, you'll fulfill every other commandment, every other principle, every other idea in the Bible, if you'll just learn to love. And so Jesus simplifies it here, saying, I'm just going to command you, love each other. That's a commandment, period. That's just a commandment. And so that's soaking that in a little bit is like, woo, I have a whole lot of reasons I don't love some people. Some people disqualified themselves from me loving them. And some people, and we just have all of these ideas about, do I have to? How much do I have to? What is that loving each other really look like? I didn't kill them yet, so hey, you know. And we have all of these little concepts that we're manipulating this whole idea of loving one another. But Jesus just comes right out and says some things in these verses. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 12. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So he's going to start to define that. He wants you to understand, what does that mean, as I have loved you? And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Verse 13 says, "Greater love." So how, well, this is greater love. This is the highest degree of love. This is, if you're going to measure love on a scale of 1 to 10, this is 10. This is where you want to go. This is where you want to grow into. "Greater love hath no man than this, that you lay down your life for your friends. You are my friends." Verse 14 challenges me. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." What's he commanding us to do? Love each other. You're my friend. And when I first read that, I'm going, so you'll let me be your friend if I do everything you say. I have friends like that already, thank you. I have friends like that already. If you do everything I say, and if you do it the way I want you to, and when I want you to, we'll be friends. But if you challenge me, and if you're a little late, and if you don't perform well, then hey, we're not friends any longer. Those are fair-weathered friends. I have plenty of those. But Jesus is saying here something a little different, and we'll talk about that and just kind of break that down for you in just a minute. Verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants." I love how he follows up with it, verse 14 kind of sounds like a servant thing. You do whatever I tell you, we'll be friends. But then verse 15, he says, "I'm not calling you my servants." That's not the relationship I'm talking about. "For a servant does not know what his master's doing. I called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you." Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Man, that is some loaded stuff there. And verse 17 says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Commandment. Commandment. So let's talk about it just a little bit. We're not left to our feelings. Love is not a feeling. I used to love you, but I've kind of fallen out of love. It's kind of a gentle fall. No, it was a crash. No, I jumped off the cliff. I've fallen out of love with you. But love isn't a feeling. If you make me feel good, I love you. You start making me feel bad. If you do that long enough, I'm going to fall out of love with you. If you say the wrong thing, if you sing that Tim Hawkins song, I'm going to fall out of love with you. I would like to hear him sing the husband song, you know. That would be interesting, huh? Some of you girls could write that song, maybe help us out. But love isn't a feeling. It isn't, well, if the conditions are favorable, I'll love you. Yesterday was an awesome day, wasn't it? The conditions were favorable. I kind of have this rule in my own life that in the winter, when the warm day comes, is the day I clean my guns after hunting season. And so that's kind of my rule. So I've been waiting for the warm, sunny day. I can leave my garage doors open and pull out all my cleaning materials, and I don't stink up the house that way. Kari doesn't like it when I do it in the living room on the carpet. I don't know, she has an aversion to that for some reason. But yesterday was just a favorable day to be in my shirt sleeves, in my garage, taking care of some tasks. So I got my guns all cleaned up and put them back in the safe, and they're ready for next year, you know. I filled out my hunter's report for the year, On the warm day in the winter, I try to finish my hunting season tasks. So that's what I did yesterday. I didn't do it 2 weeks ago. It was way too cold. The conditions were not favorable. And sometimes when we're talking about love, if the conditions are favorable, I'll love you. If the conditions are favorable, I'll talk to you nicely. If the conditions are favorable, I'll forgive you. If the conditions are favorable, I will try to do this little commandment thing that Jesus is talking about, loving one another. If I get the time, if it's convenient. But the commandment has nothing to do with favorable conditions. It has nothing to do with feelings. He simply said, love each other. Period. No excuses. No justification for not loving each other. Zero of that. Love each other. Is this challenging you? This is challenging me a little bit. Just love each other. Yeah, but. I mean, we like to yeah, but God's word, don't we? Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? Yeah, but what about the guy that... Yeah, but what about the girl? What about my ex? What about? Love everybody, every day, all day. Let's define what that is. Let's understand that. So we need to know the what and the how, because this is huge and it's difficult. There's people that won't even come to church or won't even think about becoming a Christian because you have to forgive people. You have to love people. I'm not going to go be a hypocrite and sit in the church and act like I'm going to forgive somebody and love somebody because I'm never going to forgive them and I'm never going to love them. And there are people that are so bitter in their heart, they're so wounded, they're so rejected, they're so hurt, that they feel, does Satan play tricks with the rest of you? He plays tricks with me some days. He tries to manipulate my thoughts and my emotions. He tries to say, well, you really shouldn't go because, you know, you have to forgive to be forgiven. And if you don't forgive, you'll never be forgiven. So you made a declaration you're never going to forgive. So why even try to go to church because you can't be forgiven? You start playing these head games with me. Not on that topic necessarily, but other topics. So a lot of people are just immediately going, can we define this loving each other thing? Can we get some understanding what God's talking about? And a lot of us really hate some of those verses about turn the other cheek. We really hate that verse, you know. We're Idaho rugged individualists, you know. Mess with me and you mess with my Smith & Wesson, you know. We're rugged individualists up here. And we pride ourselves sometimes in our what we think are strengths, in our boldness, in our what we think is courage sometimes. So let's try to look at what is this really saying? What is it really about? Jesus says, I want you to love each other like I loved you, like I love you. That's the qualifying statement, right? How does Jesus love us? If you know that on the cross, he forgave everybody that had a part of his crucifixion, didn't he? He forgave them. I haven't been crucified recently. Anybody else? I've been hurt. I've been talked about. I've been injured. I haven't been crucified recently. But Jesus on the cross says, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. He's expressing, I love these people. What he was really saying is, I am willingly giving my life for them. Not just the nice people in 2013 that go to the Life Center, but these people right here that are driving the nails in my hands and feet. This guy that's going to thrust the spear in my side, I'm forgiving him before he even does it. All the crowd that cried out, crucify him, we would rather have Barabbas than Jesus. I'm forgiving all of those people. I'm dying for them. I'm giving up my life for them. And it hurt momentarily, but Jesus was willing to go through that temporary pain for the eternal benefit. And sometimes that's what you and I fail to do. You and I fail to recognize going through some temporary pain for a greater benefit out on the other end, for a greater result than we could ever have if we didn't go through that temporary pain. Sometimes we forget that. It's hard when you're in the midst of the pain. It's hard when the blood's dripping down your face and the crown of thorns are piercing your scalp. It's hard when the beard that they've plucked out is still hurting. It's hard when the whip marks on your back are still open. And it's hard when all of that's fresh to love one another. But Jesus says, I command you to love each other the same way that I love you. And if you don't really understand that, you should watch The Passion of the Christ again. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. I think there's one back there in the bookstore if you don't have a copy. You could understand, how does Jesus love us? So he qualifies that statement. How else did he love us? I mean, that's the extreme, jumping on the cross and dying for us. When I talk to couples in marriage counseling or premarital counseling, Jesus tells the husband, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? We have to ask that question, don't we? Well, Christ left his home in heaven, came into our world, jumped upon a cross and died for us. And how's a husband supposed to love his wife? A husband's supposed to get out of his world and get into her world. Not the way Johnny was talking about, but in a little different way. Get into her world and then jump upon a cross and meet her needs and give yourself for her. And God says that's how a husband's supposed to love his wife. So he defines what this love really is. And in our other relationships, it's similar. God would really love you and I to get out of our world, get out of our emotions, get out of our ideas, our selfishness, get out of our pain for a moment, and enter their world and give ourselves to them. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, or he gives up his life for his friends. And a lot of times we say, I would take a bullet for her. Yeah, but would you just have a conversation with her? I mean, it's heroic to take the bullet. Why don't you take the bullet of conversation for her? Why don't you take the bullet of complimenting her? She knows I love her. No, take the bullet. Take the bullet. And sometimes as ladies, we say, well, I would take a bullet. I would die for him. I would give up everything for him. Well, then give it up for him. Then give up your life for him. Then give up some of your... Let him clean the gun in the living room. Come on! What's the big deal? Quit making big deals out of little things. If it's unloaded, let him clean it in the living room. Make sure it's unloaded. How many people shoot themselves cleaning their gun? I've never quite figured that out yet. The first thing I do is look in that dude and take those things out. One day, though, I have to tell a story of myself. I bought a new pistol, and I was just trying to get used to the trigger pull. And I watched a couple videos about get really used to holding the gun steady and practicing your trigger pull, and you're not going to hurt anything. Cock it, you know. While you're watching TV, and I know this is kind of unpopular today, but while you're watching TV, and so I'm just got my new pistol out, and it's a 40 caliber, you know. It makes loud noise, and I'm just, and I've been doing that for a few weeks, and Kari's busy, and I thought, well, I'm just going to practice getting used to this pistol. And this voice, I think it was the Holy Spirit, said, double check if there's anything in it. And I, there was one in it. And I thought, man, I could have got a new TV, but I would have had to get a new wife too, you know. and probably hearing aids as well. What was I talking about anyway? Let him clean the gun in the living room. That's what I was talking about. Give up. Give up. Greater love hath no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, how much do I have to lay down my life? Well, just the same way Jesus did, just to that degree. That's all. That's it. Love each other as I've loved you. That's all he said. Here's the commandment, love each other. How much? How? The same way I've loved you. And then he says, let's define it a little more. Number one, he laid his life down for us. So loving one another is laying down your life for each other. Give up your life for them. Give up your wants and your needs for them. Sacrifice yourself to meet their needs. And I know that sometimes we're going, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about my needs? If you focus on your needs, you're going to be an unhappy person the rest of your life. You have to focus on loving others. And then it comes back to you. I tried that once. It takes longer than once. Longer than once. This is the commandment. This is for the rest of your life. This is a philosophy and principles that will guide you. Love one another. Loving one another is the opposite of telling them to go to hell. Right? I mean, that's not really loving somebody. Oh, yeah. We just cursing at them is not loving them. And there's worse phrases than go to hell. Maybe some of you have heard those. But there's worse phrases than that. But saying statements like that's not loving them. Jesus said, go to heaven. That's what he said. Jesus was all about, let me give up myself so you get to go to heaven. Let me do that. And you and I should think about that and your words. So you love each other with your words, yes. You love each other with your actions. You give up yourself for them. Number two is that verse 14, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. And I'm just going, so let me wrap my head around that phrase for a minute. Jesus is saying, if you do what I command you, you're my friend. But if we back up and realize the thing he commanded us was to love each other, that's not so hard, right? Is it so hard to do everything he commanded us to do? Love God, love your neighbor, you got it. And he says, if you do what I command you, you're my friend. You're my brother. You're part of the family. We understand each other. We're living close. We're having this relationship. If you'll just do everything I commanded you. If you ever looked at the Ten Commandments, they're basically love God and love people. That's basically what they are. Don't steal people's stuff. Love them. Don't mess with their wife or husband. Love the person, not their wife or husband. Don't tell lies. Love people. It's really love. It's really love. I also, when I looked at that verse, I thought, our love should be something that causes people to follow us. That causes people to want to be around us. That causes people to want to do what we're asking them to do. Jesus says, I want you to do what I've asked you to do. And the next verse says, not because you're my servant. Because I don't think of you as my servant. I'm not holding anything back. I reveal to you Everything the Father tells me, I've told you. You're not my servant, you're my friend. And so the next one is what number three talks about. Real love communicates clearly and completely. It takes the time to help you understand and know. It doesn't leave you to guess or respond out of fear or demand. Real love communicates clearly. God doesn't want you and I responding to Him out of fear or command. He wants you and I responding to Him out of love. He has the power to demand. And in our relationship, sometimes we're demanding. Sometimes we're controlling. That's not love. Love doesn't control. Love isn't demanding. Love is something that creates a communication and an understanding to where everybody's on board and on the same page, and we all together go do the things that we're supposed to be doing because of this great communication that's going on. And so Jesus is saying, I don't want you to respond to me servant master. I want you to respond to me friend to friend. And the reason we're friends is because I'm going to communicate clearly, transparently, openly, completely to you. I'm not holding anything back. No secrets. I'm not saying because I'm Jesus, that's why. I'm not saying that. There's times I do that to my kids because I'm the dad. Kelsey's 29. It doesn't work so well anymore. I got grandkids because I'm grandpa. But you know, that only goes so far, right? You can't pull the grandpa card all the time. Sometimes you got to communicate, love, explain, so they understand. What I found out is that a lot of people, most people, if you can help them understand, if you can help them feel loved, if you can help them feel secure, if you can help them feel important and valued, they're more than willing to partner with you and march in step with you through life. And Jesus is just asking that of you and I too. He says, let me just show you my real heart. Let me die on a cross for you. Let me just reveal to you what I really want and what I'm really all about. I'm really about love. I really intend to take you to heaven for all eternity. I really intend to heal your pain. I really intend that there's a resurrection of life that you all get to experience. I really intend all of that for you. Don't believe the negative PR that Satan puts out there. Let me show you who I am. And once we see who God is and who Jesus is, then we willingly become His friend and get in step with Him and march through life together. But it creates understanding. Sometimes we have a problem loving each other because we don't understand. We don't understand what God wants. We don't understand how to create love. We don't understand how to get over pain and problems. We don't understand. Number four says, love takes initiative. Verse 16 says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Love takes initiative. That first love principles. We love Him because He first loved us. Reciprocating love is so easy. So easy. So if you want to create this loving relationships, you have to initiate love. You have to initiate. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. And I'm sticking to that choice. I chose you because, sometimes you got to remember, why in the world did I choose them? You got to go back and remember, I chose them because, there's been times in my marriage I've had to look at Kari, and the stress is going on, and problems are going on, and I had to go back to the foundation. I chose her. Right now I'm upset because this reason, or this reason, but that's not really why I chose her. I chose her. Why did I choose her? Did I choose her to be my hot, wild woman in bed? Sometimes, but not all the time. I mean, no, that's not really why I chose her. Did I choose her to cook my meals? and clean my house? Is that why I chose her? She's strong. She'll be really good at, yeah, I chose her to cook and clean and be my fantasy partner. That's what I chose. No, I chose her because she's awesome. She's amazing. She's talented. She's gifting. She loves other people. She is compassionate. She just has this amazing gifts and talents that God gave her, and she has destiny and purpose. And when I can get back to that stuff and say, I chose her. She didn't choose me. I initiated this thing. I chose her. I stood up on that stage and said, I do to her, and I made my vows to her, and I chose her of my own free will. It was not a shotgun wedding. I chose her of my own free will. And I have to get back to that some days. And Jesus looks at you and I, and he says, I chose you. I think you're special. And I want to be with you forever. And he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. There's thousands of people around us today that do not know they're chosen by God. They think God rejects them. They think God doesn't like them. They think God's mad at them. But God looks at us. This commandment to love one another, do you know that he lives by that too? He loves us too. And he says, I chose you. I chose you. I chose you. I ordained you. I appointed you. And I appointed you that you would go and bear much fruit and that your fruit would remain. What does that mean? I saw potential in you and I gifted you and resourced you. And I intend to continue gifting you and to continue resourcing you because I chose you for you to go and produce this amazing life, produce amazing family, produce amazing relationships, produce amazing friendships. I chose you to go out into the world and share your love with this world. I chose you to use your compassion out there and bear a lot of fruit with your compassion. I chose you to use that mercy gift that you have. And I chose you, whatever gifts and talents that you have, God put those in you, and he chose you, and he says, now go use those. I don't want you to be hindered. I don't want you to be hamstrung. I don't want you to be injured. I don't want you to be handicapped. I don't want you to be limping through life, never living up to your potential. I chose you, ordained you, that you would bear a lot of fruit, that your fruit would be eternal, would remain forever. I chose you. Now go. Now go do this. And when I think about that for me personally, I want to serve God for the rest of my life. And I want to discover this potential he sees in me. And I want to do that. But when I think about how does that relate to my relationships, how does that relate to me loving you? And you, and you, how does that, you see, it all started with, I'm giving you a commandment, love each other, love one another. So how does this chosen, ordained, fruit-producing thing fit in with all of that? God said, Kelly, you need to look at other people and choose them. Don't isolate from them. Do not neglect them. Choose them. And look at everybody as a chosen person with potential. If God chose them, maybe I should choose them too. Huh? If God can see something in them, why can't I? If God has fruit production, amazing life destined for them, why can't I partner with them in seeing that happen? Love one another. And I think if we could love one another, we could all reach our potential to a greater degree and maybe even faster. Do you ever feel handicapped in your love? Do you ever feel hamstrung? I do. There's some days I feel handicapped in my love. Some days I feel like the the pain of life and the pain of the relationships and the pain of whatever is just crushing me, and I'm never going to live up to my potential. I'm never going to get free to love like I'm supposed to love. I'm never going to be able to fulfill this commandment of loving each other, and I feel like I do it occasionally but not all the time, and there's seasons I do it really great and there's seasons I hardly do it at all. And I'm saying that Jesus says, Kelly, I want to resource you. I want to empower you. I've chosen you. I've ordained you that you would go and bear fruit. That's my will for you. Let me help you do that. But you know what the key is, Kelly? The key is you better love everybody around you. You can't have bitterness in your heart and get there. You can't have unforgiveness in your heart and get there. You can't like some people and not like other people. You can't just like white people or just like Democrats or just like Republicans or just like whatever, whatever. You cannot pick and choose your love. You cannot pick and choose that. And sometimes that's the very thing that's holding us back. But we don't understand it. This morning, I want us to understand the commandment, love each other like I've loved you. Give your life up for each other. You're my friend if you do what I commanded you. What did I command you? Love each other. I worry about some people. When I see people full of hatred and full of bitterness, I worry about them. I really do. And I wonder, there's a lot of health studies out there that talk about our health risk with stress. Anybody have stress? Do those clashing relationships create stress, or is it just me? They do. And I know I'm not giving you a lot of answers this morning, but I'm hoping to give you understanding. I'm hoping to open that door for you this morning. If you want to come to the Sexy Marriage Night, we're going to talk more about this. If you want to read the book of the month, it talks a lot more about this. And every Sunday this month, we're going to talk a lot more about this and keep opening that door. It's painful, I know. Sometimes when you crack the door open, there's a group of people that run away from you. It says, I can't think about this. I can't deal with this. I can't go there. So I'm going to stay out of church until it's safe again, March. Middle of March, maybe, Pastor will be done with this stupid topic. And I'll come back then. I understand that. I get that. But I hope you hang in. I hope you invite a bunch of people to come with you and just learn how to love one another. There's a whole lot of love one another verses in the Bible that we're going to be talking about. A whole lot of those. One illustration that I have here is God doesn't ask you to be a Ferrari and then give you geo characteristics. See, God says love one another, and that's the Ferrari stuff. That's the supercar, you know, that's, yeah, love one another. So I want you to be a Ferrari, I want you to get Ferrari results, but I'm giving you a three-cylinder motor with pedals on the floor when you go up a hill. You got a pedal to get up the hill. That's what I'm giving you. Now, when God says, I command you to love each other, he says, I'm also going to give you the resources and the abilities to accomplish that. You won't even have to shift down. Just punch the accelerator and go right over the hill. Just do that. Just do that. Climb right up that mountain. Just do that. So God doesn't ask us to do something and then not resource us to do it. My last illustration today. If you study a little bit about our enemy, Satan, you realize that he's kind of bitter. Things didn't go his way in heaven. And he's kind of bitter about that. He's a hater. He's a hater. He's not willing to reconcile anything. His pride will not allow him to reconcile with God. His pride dictates that he will war with God. And he thinks he's going to win. And if you're not careful, you can fall into those categories too. God says, I want you to love each other. But instead of loving people, you can become bitter. Instead of loving people, you can have your pride. And you can say, no, 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 I'm never going to put myself in that position again. I'm never trusting anybody ever again. I'm going to isolate. I'm going to withdraw. Or you can just battle. I see people that isolate and withdraw. And I see other people that just battle. I'm not loving one another. I'm battling. You cross me and there'll be H-E double toothpicks to pay. I don't think I should say hell two or three times in the same sermon. So. You don't have to worry about what I'm thinking. I just come out and say it. Yeah, I know. Nobody's ever going to get the best of me again. I'm in this defensive posture. I believe that you should, the golden rule, you should do unto them before they do it unto you. It's not really the golden rule, is it? The golden rule kind of fits the sermon a little though, doesn't it? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Would you like people to love you? Love them. Would you like people to forgive you? Forgive them. Would you like people to resource you and give themselves for you? Then why don't you resource them and give yourself for them? Because I firmly believe that if we would all just love one another, everything would work itself out. It really would. It would work itself out a whole lot better than the other ways we're trying to work stuff out. Let's pray this morning. Father, your commandment is that we love one another. It's hard. It's challenging. We have our interpretations of what that means and how far we have to go. Lord, you even told us the story of the Good Samaritan where the lawyer is trying to justify himself on who's my neighbor? Who do I really have to love? He had his own idea, but when Jesus got done, it was anybody and everybody, and the person that has a need. Lord, you don't leave this up to our interpretation. It's clear, but yet it's hard. And Lord, I pray for us today that we would be a church that really learns to love one another. We would be families, individuals, employees, community members, students in the schools that really learn how to love one another. That prejudice would be gone and bitterness would be gone and feuds would be over. Our pride would be gone and we would be full of humility and compassion. Lord, I pray for us today. Some of us right now are held captive to bitterness and anger and trauma and events of our past. And the enemy would love to keep us captivated right there. But I pray you would set us free this morning. I pray you would deliver us. We want to obey your commandments. And this commandment to love one another is a commandment we want to obey. And you're not going to give us geo capabilities and ask us to be the Ferrari. God, make us over. Give us the resources. Help us to become the people you want us to be. Set us free from hatred, pain, bitterness, anger. Set us free from that. And Lord, I pray that in our marriages and in our parenting and in every other relationship that we have,
we would learn to love one another. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.